Habs making a change. Coyle making a nice pass. Walking up, Staal scores! That's a beautiful shot by Eric Staal. And it's 2-0 Minnesota.
We knew he was a big centerman who liked to shoot the puck. We thought he was a strong defensive player. And along with Mikko Koivu, we felt he would give us a very good 1-2 punch. And, you know, we didn't have a lot of money to work with, and Eric was willing to give us a real good cap number. So we rolled the dice, I guess. We felt pretty strongly he could bounce back from.
And the Wild get the puck. Staal works it over. Shot by Suter. He put it wide. And now Dumba. Suter, one-timer, scores.
Well, Carey Price. Dan, he was frustrated when Charlie Coyle came by the crease, and he just looked up in the sky in disgust.
Now Holla behind the Montreal net, and a wraparound attempt. Score! Niederreiter, his second, and it's 7-0 Minnesota. And the goals just keep coming into the Montreal net.
And the goal, and it assists the number one star, Wild four, number 12, Eric Staal.
There's some concern. Carey's given up three or more goals now in six of the last seven games. Is that?
You know what? That's the least of my concern. Thank you.
Welcome back. Pierre McGuire said the Minnesota Wild are for real before the game last night, 24 hours ago. It's hour number three. Melnick in the afternoon, TSN 690 with Rob Francis and Mitch Gallo. Mitch Melnick with you until 6. Friday scrum edition of Habs Lunch in its entirety, replayed between 6 and 7. Coach of the Alouettes, Jacques Chapdelaine, will join us in less than 30 minutes on the acquisition of quarterback Darian Durant.
Pierre McGuire, brought to you by Dagwood's Bab Sandwich. Ham and pepperoni dressed like you like it. Now only $7 for a large at Dagwood's.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How you doing?
I am doing very well, Mitch. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And let me inform our listeners who might not be aware, that was Chuck Fletcher, the general manager of the Wild, in between periods on our broadcast last night with Gallo and Sean Campbell on signing Eric Staal.
Yeah, that was a real good get by Sean and Mitch. And you could hear a little bit of what Blair McAsee was telling you yesterday in terms of trying to get a player that you knew really well, wanted to redeem himself, and clearly that player redeemed himself. I mean, you're talking about a player that, if he's going like he's going right now, and that shot that he scored on, that's going in on any goalie. So people that want to pick on Carey Price on that one, that's a lethal shot when he's coming down the wing like that. So there's a lot of stuff that I know they're mad at in Montreal, but I wouldn't overreact to that one at all. I really wouldn't.
Carey, in a game like that, do you have any say if you stay in goal or not, or does it matter to you if you?
I'd rather just stick it out. Nobody else has the opportunity to get pulled from the game, so I'd rather just stick it out with everybody else.
If you really follow this team closely, and in the aftermath of the debate about Al Montoya staying in for the 10 goals in Columbus, you had to know. If you thought he should have been pulled when it was obvious the Habs had nothing and they're down 4-0 after 2, and if he didn't come out when it was 6, that there was a reason for that, and that reason wasn't Michel Therrien or anybody on the staff letting him hang out to dry. It was Carey Price insisting that he stay in there.
I really liked what he had to say. And you know what was so impressive about that, Mitch and Rod and Mitch Gallo, is that it shows the leadership capability of the man, and it shows how much they missed him last year. That's something that a leader would say. That is tremendous that he actually said that. And you know what? He may have cost himself a major award last night. He's had two showdowns with Devan Dubnyk now. He's lost both. One of them he obviously gave up 7. So that could cost him the Vezina. I mean, that's just the harsh reality of it. But you don't hear him pouting or whining or complaining. He's hanging in there with his teammates. I think that's great.
Yeah, I agree with you on that front, Pierre, in terms of what Price said. And I actually mentioned the award thing during the postgame show last night because I also agree with that. But I'm just wondering, in terms of Coach Therrien's approach, because, you know, growing up watching a ton of baseball, when the manager goes to the mound, the pitcher might say he wants to stay in, but if you're the manager, you still take the ball around him. You're the boss, not the pitcher. And I would think it's that case.
Yeah, I like it, Mitch Gallo. You've heard me say to you a million times, along with the rest of our team, sometimes a coach has to save the player from himself, or sometimes a team doctor has to save the player from himself when a player wants to play with an injury. It's one of those things. It's a fine line. Now, I said to Rod Francis before we came on, just to keep it fair and balanced, I wonder if Michel Therrien was thinking about the eyeball and he got from Carey during the San Jose game in Montreal, where he got pulled after 4.
Well, Let's hear from Michel Therrien himself on that.
He has to find a way to win and talk. We discussed with the coaching staff, and Stefan, our goalie coach, Wade, had a good talk with him. And Carey wanted to stay there. I respect the decision, and even more, I think I appreciate, you know, the fact that he wanted to stay there. It's one of those nights, you know what, it's a tough night, and we all in this together, and we all suffering tonight as a team. Pretty simple.
All right, so there he laid out the what went on beyond the scenes there, and your analogy to baseball, there's also the factor of a pitching coach. And if the manager and a pitching coach have a really tight relationship, the manager's probably going to lean towards what the pitching coach thinks.
Tony La Russa and Dave Duncan, right, Mitch? Is that one of them that you're alluding to?
Nice going there, Mr. McGuire.
Oh, thanks.
Among others, but yeah, that's a pretty good one. That's a long-standing relationship. But anyway, I look, like any goalie in the NHL, they want to be known as the best, and they want to win as many trophies as they can, but that's not ultimately what it's all about. I don't think it matters to Carey Price. I think what does matter is something Rod Francis has alluded to a couple of times, the lack of practice time. He's in a slump. How do you get out of a slump? You work on things. They don't have time to work on things right now.
That's such a valid point. That's so legit. Because of the compressed schedule, and we talked about this in December, the Canadians were going to face a murderer's row starting in late December and all through January. Not an easy thing to do. And let's listen, if it's fair to give them shots, we'll give them shots. Let's remember about the injuries with this team. Let's remember about the limited amount of practice. Mitch Melnick said is very relevant. Players have to work their way out of slumps. They don't have time to do it. That's one of the killers at this time. Huge problem.
And the Rangers are in. They play tomorrow, so it'll be interesting to see how they react to a back-to-back. And history shows us that Carey Price, I don't know if he plays better against any team in the league than the Rangers.
Except for when Kreider runs him over.
Gee, thanks, Pierre.
But the Rangers play a very emotional game tonight. They're coming off that break, and they play Toronto, who's coming off a break. And it's a big deal because Austin Matthews is playing for the first time at MSG. So there's a lot of different moving parts here for this weekend for Montreal, a lot of different moving parts.
He's playing for the first time at MSG and playing for the first time since you said this.
You won't like what I have to say.
I always like what you have to say, especially when you invite me out to L.A.
Austin Matthews.
Austin Matthews is the best player in the league. Not...
I think Austin Matthews and Connor McDavid are battling it out for 2 and 3.
So that was early in the week when I asked Pierre at the halfway point, give me the best players in the league not named Sidney Crosby. You heard his answer, and you can imagine how that went over around the league, but especially in Toronto. You've heard about it, huh?
I think people in Toronto are really happy.
Of course they are.
Well, I think there's a lot to that. I mean, I watched the player elevate at the Centennial Classic when Detroit, who's maybe they don't score a lot, but they're a really good checking team. They had a plan not designed to stop Toronto. They had a plan to stop Austin Matthews. Didn't work. It worked for 40 minutes. It didn't work for the last 20, and it didn't work in overtime. I watched him opening night, huge moment in his career, in Ottawa, on the road, young team. He gets a 4-goal game. I've watched him against the Washington Capitals, an amazing shootout game. The guy was off the charts good. Off the charts good. And one of the plays he made on a goal on an assist was just spectacular. So there's so many things that I'm watching him do that blow me away. I don't know if you had a chance to read it. I kind of believe his coach in Toronto is believing me, too, based on what he said in the New York Post today.
Well, I didn't see it. What did Mike Babcock say?
He talked about how he's blown away by how much his game has grown since the start of the year. And if you don't know about him by now, you're going to know about him pretty soon. And Mike is not one of those guys that hands out plaudits really well. He is really tight to the vest. This is probably the most positive I've seen Mike talk about a player since he had Pavel Datsyuk.
Well, and so people, how many years has Connor McDavid played in the National Hockey League? Well, let me stop there. How many years has Connor McDavid? You do this a lot. You ask questions, and you know the answer, but, you know, you ask questions, right?
Right.
How many years has Connor McDavid been in the National Hockey League?
Well, he's been, this is his third, so Connor's got an edge. He's got an advantage, right?
But he missed most of one of those years. And
one,
there,
yeah,
right? And last year, there were people having serious discussions about Connor McDavid maybe, perhaps, already the best player in the National Hockey League.
Well, I really believe it, and I said it before the season. I don't think people believe me, but I feel strongly about it. I thought before the season started that Connor would be the second-best player. Based on what I saw, not from last NHL season, based on what I saw at the World Cup. That's why I based it on. I based it on that. Watching him, evaluating him, seeing him against star players, seeing how he handled the pressure of playing in Canada, I thought Connor was off the charts. Really, really spectacular. So I'm watching Austin, virtually the same situation. Man, oh, man. This guy's going to be something else. And it's not a knock on anybody else in the league. You got to salute the young man's, you know, potential and where you think he's going to be.
And what about the map he took, Pierre, to get to the NHL? Because it's a bit unique in terms of the fact that he played in Zurich last year. Do you think players look at what he did and say, geez, I could, in my draft year, go play pro, make some cash before I play in the NHL, and be playing against men?
There are not a lot of guys that can do it, though. That's part of the problem. Connor, I will say this. I think Connor McDavid could have done that easily. Easily. I think you probably could have seen a few others over time, but I don't think you'd see a lot. There's nobody from this draft that could do what you're seeing Austin Matthews do or what you saw him do over in Europe. No, I just, there's not a lot that can do it. I'm being honest with you.
Back to the Habs and the Rangers, but specifically Habs in just a moment with Pierre McGuire on Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690. Interesting comment from Guy Boucher on the Leafs today. He said basically they have a five-man forecheck. Do you see that? You obviously have to have guys who can motor the way that the Leafs do, but do you get what he's saying and you want to expand on it a little bit and how they're able to
how they're able
to do this?
They're doing exactly what the Boston Bruins used to do in the small Boston Garden. The Bruins used to play a five-man forecheck all the time. I coached against it in the playoffs. I coached against it in the regular season. It was very difficult to break it, too. They had the strong side pinch as well as any team in the league with the defense. But what they're doing more than anything else is their young legs, whether it's Connor Brown, whether it's Zach Hyman on the back end, whether it's Matty Hunwick, whether it's Morgan Riley. They're playing that aggressive five-man game with a pinch. And the reason they can do it is because they've got skill, awareness down the middle, especially with Kadri playing in the three-hole. That's a huge benefit with Kadri playing in the three-hole. It's pretty amazing to watch it. It really is. They're a good team. Give them credit. They're a good team. They're well on the way to getting their problems fixed.
All right, so let me just finish with the Leafs for now. Again, the Leafs and the Rangers. Ray Ferraro is with us from New York. He's working the game today, and he had to run, so we really couldn't elaborate it on the question, so let me repeat the question. They're playing their 40th game tonight, which means they got a lot of games coming up. For a young team, they've obviously got the confidence that they can play in the NHL. On the other hand, they're about to be exposed to a real brutal schedule that they've never gone through before. Which way does it go for them, do you think, here?
Freddie Anderson's going to dictate a lot of it, Mitch. He's going to have to steal games, and, you know, he's played a lot. Now, the interesting part of it, I know you've probably picked up on it. A lot of people around the league haven't picked up on it. You see who they picked up to back him up? Curtis McElhinney. I was very surprised that Columbus allowed that to happen. So this is going to be interesting going forward because Curtis is a very good goalie. I know I've talked to you about him before. He comes out of Colorado College. He's a very, very good goalie. Now, not saying he's a starter. He's a lot like Mike Condon. But in a short sample size, he can get you some wins. That's going to be really interesting to watch, I
Jeez,
think.
You know, he hardly played. When he did play, he played well. Then he had a bad game against John Tortorella's former team, the Rangers, and that was it for him.
Yeah, I was really surprised by it, Mitch, but a lot of people around the league hadn't really talked about it, you know? And the one thing I would tell you about Curtis, a lot like Mike Condon, he is a battler. He is a big-time battler, and that's kind of what you want to have. When the guy is in the two-hole as a goalie, you need a guy that's going to battle.
Big game for Condon again last night against the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Give credit where credit's due in that one. I don't know how much people in Montreal watched that one, obviously, because of what was going on in Minnesota. Mike Condon was good. Dion Phaneuf was as good as I've seen him all year in terms of penalty killing. I was really impressed with J.G. Pagel and the job he did on Sidney Crosby, not just 5-on-5 defensively, but face-off play as well. Tommy Pyatt was outstanding, the former Canadian and Ranger and Tampa Bay Lightning, a reclamation project from Switzerland. They had a lot of good stuff going on. But I would credit this win, Mitch, that they had last night to Guy Boucher, Mark Crawford. Those guys really coached a heck of a game last night.
Canadians sent Nikita Sherbak and Bobby Farnham back to St. John's, the American Hockey League. So that means Alex Galchenyuk and Andrew Schaub, they've been skating for a while. Looks like they're likely back in tomorrow night against the Rangers, and Andre Markov not that far behind. So the next time we speak, presuming nobody goes down in any kind of serious manner tomorrow night against the Rangers, the Canadians will have been through this injury plague session and, all things being equal, have survived.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they have. You're bang on. They have survived, and they've done swimmingly well. They have been great. And, again, I would say if they weren't, they're doing it, and they're doing it because of coaching. They're doing it because of goaltending. I know people are saying, what's wrong with Carey? They're doing it with leadership from Price and Weber. And the biggest thing that I see right now, they got different guys chipping in. Now, one thing I'm concerned about, might be too much for Michael McCarron right now. I don't know if you agree with me based on what I saw last night. Might be too much for him based on the transition stuff. You probably know what I'm talking about by watching it. But outside of that, there's a lot of real positive stuff.
Yeah, it's really tough to measure players when the entire team plays like that. However, the fourth line specifically was hammered last night.
Yep. Oh, they were, and that's... I'm not just picking on Michael because I do think he will have a career in the league. I think it'll be more as a depth player. But we talked about the pace that Minnesota plays with now under Bruce Boudreau. It's a way different team. And that was a little bit troublesome last night. Now, I know it's a back-to-back and it's travel involved and everything else, but that was not good for the fourth line last night.
A lot of teams are gathering their management staff and scouting staff together, either in a third-party location down south or sometimes in their home city. What are those discussions like? Are they mostly like a state-of-the-team discussion? Do you look at possible targets from other teams with your pro scouts? What are those talks like generally?
It's everything. It's evaluation of amateur players, getting a preliminary depth list on your players, evaluating your organizational strengths and weaknesses in the American League and the NHL and maybe even the East Coast League. How prospect-rich are you? Be legitimate in terms of your evaluation. Don't overrank your prospects. Doing all little things like that, seeing the depths and strengths and weaknesses of your division opponents, looking at playoff opponents potentially, there's a lot that goes into it. These should be extremely intense meetings. We never used to travel like that when I was doing it. We used to go to the city I was working in, and then you had to buckle up and get to work. But they should be extremely intense and very thorough meetings.
Finishing up with Pierre McGuire on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690. Yesterday marked the return of agent provocateur Alan Walsh to the show every Thursday.
There was zero chance, and I mean zero, maybe even less than zero chance, that any goalie like Yarrow could get picked up off waivers with another year left on his contract with a $4.5 million cap hit. Zero chance.
As you know, Pierre, Yarrow Halak cleared waivers, played a couple of games in the American Hockey League. He's too good for the American Hockey League. There are several teams kind of suffering in goal right now. Would you be surprised if somebody took a flyer on Yarrow Halak?
I am such an Alan Walsh fan, so I'm going to back him up on this. Even though there's zero chance that somebody's taking him on waivers, I'm not sure anybody's going to move an asset to get him. And then the cap hit kicks in. That's the problem. That's the problem for him and a lot of guys like that. Remember when it was Roberto Luongo who said,
"Yeah, my
contract, freaking contract." You know what?
Yeah.
Well, that's the problem, and Roberto's Roberto's a potential Hall of Fame player, by the way.
Yeah, no question.
So that's what I'm talking. That's what I'm talking about. I mean, I don't think Yarrow's going in the Hall of Fame, but Yarrow's a competent NHL goalie. But I'm backing Alan up 100% on that because I'm telling you, it's hard to move guys because of the cap. It's just really hard.
All right, Pierre. Again, they play tonight against Toronto. So when the Habs host the Rangers tomorrow, what would you expect? Considering,
I would expect a really fast game. That's just how Toronto plays. And the underrated guys from Toronto to watch for are Connor Brown and Zach Hyman. Those guys are really good. Mike Babcock calls them the two animals. And I came up with a line because they play on Austin Matthews' line usually. Austin and the Animals. They could be a rock band. I'm telling you, they are good. They are fast. They are skillful. And those two guys aren't getting enough credit. And then Kadri in the three hole is a little pain in the derriere. And he's really good. Really effective and really good. Babcock created an amazing role for him. This will be a tough game for Montreal, but I would expect it to be one of the fastest games you'll see all year at the Bell Center.
All right. Have a great weekend. Thank you, as always. We'll do it again on Monday.
Thank you very much, Mitch. Thank you for an awesome week. Rod, Mitch Gallo, thanks for a great week. Melnick, great having you back. You're out of the tub. You're on the team.
Austin and the Animals right here.
They call the rising sun, and it's been the ruin of many a poor boy. And God, I know I'm one.
The head coach of the Alouettes, Jacques Chapdelaine, will join us in just a few minutes on Kavis Reed acquiring the rights to Darian Durant on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690.
Insider Pierre Maguire, brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub, with six locations in and around Montreal. YeOldOrchard.com.